speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
This morning, I want to bring a lesson out of the book of Revelation, primarily chapter 21. We will be looking at a few things in chapter 22, so if you would, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. And I will say that this lesson is the product of something that Brother Bishop and I were speaking about just a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, I'll bring a lesson entitled, I'm Going to a City. You know, there are blessings associated with being a Christian. Amen. Being in Christ, we know that we have the forgiveness of sin from our God. And also we understand is that we are added by the Lord into His church, meaning that not only are we children of God, but it means that we are a part of the greatest family upon the face of this earth. For friends and like figure, it means that we are able to go out each and every day knowing that we are a child of the King, to be able to serve Him in a way that certainly will please Him, if indeed we will commit ourselves to such. But then, above all, we know that as long as we live our lives faithful to the will of God, heaven will be our eternal reward. I am going to a city. And on a number of occasions, in and throughout the New Testament Scripture, during the life of Jesus, Jesus spoke about heaven. And what Jesus said with reference to heaven certainly helps us to understand not only that that was a place that He was going to whenever He died and that He was reigning and ruling from heaven, but also He gives us pictures of heaven to help us understand what it is that God has prepared for each and every one of us as long as we are in Christ. And therefore, reading what Jesus says in reference to heaven, as well as putting everything else together that God gives us about heaven, serves as a motivation for us to live our lives faithful to God so that heaven will indeed be our eternal reward. And as I think about heaven, as it pertains to the lesson this morning coming from the book of Revelation, I want us to understand that the book of Revelation speaks about a number of new things. To begin with, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, we understand is that a new name is given to God's people. And I believe that that is reminiscent as we look back into the Old Testament Scripture in Isaiah 62 and verse 2. Isaiah, some 8 centuries before Jesus came into the world, said that there would come a time, and you and I know today that it is in the Christian age, where that God's people would be called by a new name. Under the Old Testament, they were known as Israel. They were known as the Jews. They were called God's chosen. But in the New Testament, whenever we put Christ on in baptism, our sins are forgiven and we are identified as Christians. And that literally means that we are followers of our God. In the context, as what John receives in this revelation, though, he speaks with reference to, in the eternal realm, is that God's people would be called by a new name. And in that, some have said, well, does that mean that the name Christian will not accompany us whenever we go to heaven? That I do not know. And the reason that I do not know that is because God does not share that information with us. But there does seem to be an indication that in the presence of God, there will be a new name wherein that children of His children are identified in the eternal realm. For friends, also, in the context of what we find in this revelation, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, as well as Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, as well as verse 10, we understand is that there is a new Jerusalem coming down from God above. With reference to this, I believe that it is important for us to understand the old Jerusalem. The old Jerusalem, as it dealt with God's people from the days of old, was where they lived and where also, though, the temple of God was present amongst them. And therefore, the temple of God being amongst these individuals represented the presence of God as He dwelt with His people, as they were in one sense His people and He was in another sense their God. Yet at the same time, we understand, as it is identified in the Revelation, is that there would be a new Jerusalem. In the Christian age, Jesus has spoke expressively time and time again, wherein that in His death, the law of Moses would be removed. And in removing the law of Moses, it also meant, in an ultimate sense, that Jerusalem would fall. As we read and study, after the life and teachings of our Lord and Savior, after Jesus has died on the cross and resurrected from the grave, we know, according to Bible as well as it aligns with history, Jerusalem fell in A.D. 70. And therefore, as John is writing, in regard to the things that is revealed to him in this revelation, he says that God will provide a new Jerusalem that is superior than the Jerusalem that fell in A.D. 70. Friends, also, as we march forward and think about the new things that is found in the book of Revelation, it is identified as that a new song will be sang by the people of God in the eternal realm. What does that mean? It means that worship will be a part of being in heaven. Those who do not care for worship today, friends, I say that they will not care for heaven. Why do I say that? Because worship is indeed going to be a part of the eternal realm. We will praise our God continually. We will bow ourselves before the presence of God individually as well as collectively as we enter into heaven. And it will be a part of who we are and what it is that we do from an eternal sense as we enter into our heavenly reward. The writer here, by way of Revelation, also promises us, as it is promised from God, is that all things will be made new. When Jesus Christ returns, the life that we live here upon the face of this earth, it will be no more. The things that we deal with in this world, they will all vanish away. Why? Because God identifies is that it's not possible for flesh and blood to enter into the eternal realm, and therefore the body itself will be changed. It's not possible for the life that we lead here in this world to be carried over into heaven. Why? Because heaven is a much different place than anything that you and I see, that you and I experience during the time in which we live here in this world. As we dig into the context of Revelation chapter 21, we understand certain things as it pertains to the dwelling of God amongst man. To begin with, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, it is said from this context that the city of God is coming down out of heaven and is coming from God. That is most important for us to think about as it relates to us from a religious standpoint. In the religious world, a lot of people look at that language, the city coming down from heaven and that is coming down from God. They teach that there's going to be a heaven on earth. And that this verse, in one sense, teaches this very doctrine. Yet at the same time, friends, I want us to understand that it's not possible for this heaven to come down and to be a part of this earth. Why would I say that? Because of what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and following, is that this earth will melt with fervent heat. God never intended, nor does He at this time intend, to establish a heaven on earth. Well, what then does this language signify? It signifies is that this heaven that God has prepared for mankind, it is not an accomplishment of man, but rather it is of divine origin. It is a gift from God. And therefore, as this new Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven, God's people, the Christians, needed to understand is that it was unlike the Jerusalem of which they were a part of in the days of old. In like figure, Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and verse 4 shows us is that God's tabernacle is with men and that He dwells with them. The tabernacle, as you go back in the Old Testament with Israel wandering in the wilderness, this tabernacle was a temporary tabernacle. It was a place where that they went and they worshiped God. But also it represented the presence of God amongst His people. And certainly, we have language in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33, that shows us in the Christian age, God would be the God of His children, the Christians. But then, in an ultimate manner, God identifies as that not only would He dwell amongst His people here in this world, but in a bigger way, in a more personal manner. Whenever Christians enter into the eternal realm, into heaven, is that they will be literally in the presence of our God. And what a blessing that is. To know not only is God amongst us today, God is here with us today, spiritually speaking, as we worship and praise Him in spirit and in truth. Friends, also I want to stress is that God is with us individually, each and every day of our lives, as we move about here upon the face of this earth in service to Him. But yet, in the eternal realm, from the language here as well as elsewhere, God signifies unto us is that in eternity, we will literally be able to be blessed with the presence of God, to stand before Him, the One who is a great I Am. My friends, also, I want to draw our attention to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3 and connect this with what is found in verse 7. Christians from every nation will be welcomed there. And somebody might say, well, in reading Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3, it just literally says that people. If you go to the original language, it says peoples, plural. And therefore, what's under consideration? He is identifying and recognizing is that it doesn't matter where you live and serve God, so long as you are a member of the Lord's church, so long as you are a part of the true body of Christ. And therefore, as I read and study with regard to this matter, as it is stated here in the context of this Scripture, not only will we be gathered together to be in the presence of our God, but friends, we will also, in our gathering, being gathered together, be in the presence of one another with those of like precious faith, those of Warren County and those throughout the United States, but friends, also with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are all over the world. For those of us here within this congregation who have lost loved ones, who are members of the Lord's church, we look forward to that day, do we not? We long for that opportunity not only to stand in the presence of God, to be with our God, but then also to be able to be reunited with those who have gone on before us. It will be a great and glorious reunion with the saints as we enter into heaven's eternal realm. But my friends, also, I tell you that I have been blessed, and I know many of you have also been blessed, to be able to meet people who are not a part of our everyday walk of life, who are members of the Lord's church, who also belong to Jesus Christ. And these people that we've met in other states, these people that we have met all the way across the world, as long as they live their lives faithful and as long as we live our lives faithful before God, we will be able to reunite with them, to reconnect with them. And friends, while that I've connected with, and I know you have as well, there are times when we say goodbye to these individuals, either through death or simply because of the fact that we're going back home or we're going back to a location where that it's going to separate us. In heaven, that will not be the case. We will be there and we will be welcomed into heaven in the presence of our God. But my friends, also, according to what we find in the context of this revelation, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6, our deliverance into heaven will finalize our God's work. You see, this is what God is working for. This is why we see in the Old Testament Scripture everything was pointing to Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus Christ come into the world was to die for our sins. But while in His death, He said it is finished, meaning that everything was in place. Everything was accomplished in order for Him to die to give us a means of redemption. At the same time, this revelation shows us that ultimately everything will be completely completed whenever we enter into heaven, because this is what God's will is for us. As you look to the original language, when it says, "It is done," literally it means they are done. Also in that context, you'll read, he says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega." The Alpha and Omega is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. And what he means is, as you go into the book of Revelation and find where that he states this on more than one occasion, take into consideration in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, where he says, "I'm the Alpha and Omega," he says, "Before Rome was, before the emperors were, I am the beginning and the end," showing that He's much more superior than them. However, as you take then and plug this into the context of Revelation chapter 21, I believe what He is saying is that the Lord is the beginning of all things and that He is the completion of all things. And what God makes as a promise, God is also going to keep. those promises that He makes. And therefore, as He's been writing through the Revelation, and He identifies is that as long as Christians hang in there, they're going to be blessed. And by the time He gets to Revelation chapter 21, He says, here's the greatest of those blessings, is the fact that God is going to finalize His plan in bringing you into heaven, and that this heaven is a reward, a blessing beyond our ability to truly comprehend while we live here in this world. My friends, the blessings that God shows us from the Revelation are unparalleled to anything that we find in this life. Note the context. He says the city is described, the city in this context is described as a holy and heavenly city. It's holy in the sense that God is there. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, Jesus said, "My God," or the city of my God. Showing us is that God is there in heaven Himself. And what do we know to be about God? What's characteristic of God above and beyond anything else? We know is that our God is holy, and He calls us to live holy lives during the time in which we live here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and verse 20. And only those who are holy will go to heaven. Why? Because it is a holy city, and the Holy One of whom we serve and belong to shall be there. My friends, also from the context of what is written here in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through verse 21, the city is seen with foundation, walls, and gates. And whenever I think about the foundation, Christ certainly is the foundation upon which we come to God and that we must build in regard to our lives. And as He identifies the walls and the gates, in one sense, I believe that He's speaking with reference to the protection that we have as we enter into heaven. This world, we may find areas and times in our life where that we feel secure, but yet at the same time, as we have been reminded even in recent years, is that there is always an enemy out there lurking, coming after us. And therefore, we fear sometimes for our lives, but in heaven, God identifies, is that we will be protected because these walls are massive and the gates are protected by angels. But friends, also, let me suggest this. As you think about these 12 gates that are mentioned in the context, we understand is that at each gate we have a positioning also of the angels. And when we think about the angels, I'm reminded of what we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 11 and following, specifically verse 14. He says concerning angels in that context, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? I'm also reminded of what we read in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 and following, with a rich man and Lazarus. And whenever Lazarus died, he says that whenever the soul of man departed from the body, is that his soul was met by angels and carried into Abraham's bosom. And therefore, as I look to the things that we find in Hebrews as well as in Luke's account, I can't help but imagine is that in one sense, these angels positioned at the gates kind of serve as God's welcoming committee for us to enter into the heavenly reward. And what a blessing that is. To know that what we look at maybe as our darkest moment in this life, death, is seen as a glorious moment in the sight of God, to where that He embraces us and He welcomes us in into that holy city, the New Jerusalem. From the context, the Scripture says that the city will be a place of comfort and a place of joy. It will be a place of comfort and a place of joy. That is unimaginable in comparison to what we face here in this world. And as we think about the things that were and the things that are, we understand that it is a place of comfort because there is no tears there. It is a place where there are no tears because there is no grief and there is no death. For the former things, the Scripture says, have passed away. And as I read and study from the book of Revelation, I'm reminded of where we have come from as we read and study from the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, all the way through the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. And let me share some of these things with you. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, heavens and earth are created. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, a new heavens and new earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, the sun was created. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 23, there is no need for the sun, for God is the illumination. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5, night was established. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, it says no night is there. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10, the seas were created. In Revelation 21 and verse 1 says there is no sea. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through verse 17, there is a curse that is pronounced whenever sin entered into the world. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3, there is no curse there. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, death is introduced into and a part of man's history. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, no death there. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, man is driven from the tree of life. In Revelation 21 and verse 14, man is restored in paradise. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, sorrow and pain begin as a result of man's sin. And in Revelation 21 and verse 4, no more tears, no pain, and no death, no dying there. Friends, are those things within themselves not enough to bring us comfort and to bring us joy, but then also to know that we will be able to dwell eternally with our God who has created us? From Revelation, we also understand, as Jesus taught as He was getting ready to depart from this earth, is that there's plenty of room for everyone in heaven. Now, I'm not saying that everyone's going to be there, but God has prepared room for everyone. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore, what we learn in the Revelation as we think about the measurements that are found therein, He says concerning the depth is that it is 150 miles long, or deep. It says concerning the width is that it is 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. That's the way in which those numbers break down. And as you think about that, that is a span that would go from New York to Houston. That's an amazing amount of territory. As you think just regard to how long it runs and how wide it is in regard to the measurement that God gives us in this context. And that's not even to count or take into consideration how tall it is, 1,500 miles high. And what God is saying unto us is that there's room for everyone who makes the proper preparation for the day in which they shall stand before God in judgment. Here's what Jesus said in regard to this matter in John chapter 14, verses 1 through verse 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, or literally dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. My friends, I am going to a city, and that city is heaven. And I cannot wait to be able to stand before God and to hear Him say, enter in, my good and faithful servant, for deeds that are well done. And not only am I excited to be able to know that someday, as long as I live faithful before God, that I will go to that city, I want you to also walk through life with this assurance and with excitement, knowing that heaven will be your eternal reward, and to see the beauties and the joys that await us in that eternal city that God has prepared for us someday. However, in order to be a recipient of this eternal reward, you must be in Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, my friends, the invitation will be for you. If you are here and you are an erring Christian and you need to be restored in life figure, we will sing to encourage you that you might respond and to be restored this very hour before it is eternally too late. If you're here today and subject to this call, please come.